Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada, huh? Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening. I'm a champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight. No more hockey for a while. Everything is over, and we'll talk about that tonight. Jenna's back. Jenna, how are you? How's everything?
I am back. I'm doing well. Just started school up again, so that's going well. But other than that, nothing new. I'm back. I'm excited to be back. I missed it last week, so I'm excited to get going.
I was going to ask, well, how was your Canada Day since you took the long weekend there?
It was okay. I took the long weekend, but not purposely. But I have my phone back now. I have everything. We're good to go. But other than that, you know, it was nice to have a little bit of a break from the world for a while after, you know, three classes, two jobs at once. Now I'm just two classes and two jobs. So we're down one. But no, it was a nice little break from the world that I think I needed just personally. But other than that, like, I mean, watching hockey the last little bit has been fun. I'm a little bit sad that it's over. I kind of knew it was going to play out this way, but I'm doing well. How are you doing? What's new?
Our
fans don't know what's up with you, my guy.
Legitimately, it has been a busy week. Baseball started for the slow pitch, and softball started everywhere this week, because if you weren't playing last week, they got everything started this week. So I have been on the baseball diamond more often than I'd like to admit this past week. So my hockey watching has been reduced to a mere trickle, but got to see the game on Wednesday night, on last night on you know, CBC Sportsnet, and perhaps the very last game, and it will be the last game now, on NBC for the foreseeable future, as the Tampa Bay Lightning are your 2020-2021 Stanley Cup champions, repeat champions, back-to-back champions, as they win. I want to give a quick shout out to our boy Brian Svenny Svensson, who is on this show enough and certainly helps us out with Bison women's hockey broadcasts as well. Brian's a huge Tampa Bay Lightning fan, so shout out to him as well, as they go back to back in their quest. What did you think of the final series, Jenna? What did you think of the series between Montreal and Tampa Bay?
Honestly, I mean, as much as, like, I'm not a huge Montreal fan by any means, did I want Montreal to win though? Absolutely. Just because, you know, to get a Canadian team in there. However, after, you know, Monday night's game, I kind of figured that's the way it was going to go. I don't know. I don't hate it. It was fun. I'm excited for, you know, the NHL to get back to their normal, you know,
schedule.
Yeah, that's the word. But it wasn't awful. It was exciting. It was fun to watch this game. Once Tampa had scored, I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of knew it was over, which, as bad as that sounds, but I don't know. It was a good series for the whole couple games that it was. All around, though, I'm just happy that we finally got to watch some hockey, and they have a little bit of break before the next season starts. So
can I ask, and I'm only going to say this because you brought up, absolutely, you know, can I ask though, you brought up the comment of how, you know, you wanted to see Canadian team win. Do you feel that Montreal was quote unquote Canada's team in the final? Because I know people from Montreal that didn't want Montreal to win. So I'm only asking, cause I go, I mean, they're technically Canada's representative, but I don't know if they really are Canada's team.
No, absolutely not. And I think that, like, I know, you know, I've talked to a lot, like, not a lot of people, but a few people about, you know, the Jets and stuff. And, like, I feel like if the Jets were more consistent, we could have been there. But the only difference is, again, Hellebuck, we have a heck of a goalie with the Jets here. But I think that Carey Price was the big difference there. As bad as that sounds, Hellebuck, don't get me wrong, is probably the only reason the Jets made it as far as they did, because the Jets are not consistent by any means. They have some people that can score goals here and there. Our defense, though, not top notch all the time. But yeah, no, Carey Price was definitely the huge difference maker in this series. The last few games, he like stood on his head no matter what. Even when Carey Price is having a bad game, he's not having a bad game. And as much as I don't think that they are Canada's team, I think that out of all teams, Carey Price deserved to be there. As much as no, he did not win, but he deserved to be there over, you know, the Jets. But
well, I mean, Montreal earned it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I had this long debate yesterday with a guy during a break between softball games that even even if Shifley had played, I don't think it would have mattered in as much as people are giving it credit as it would. I think that Montreal came into that series. Montreal had a game plan for Winnipeg, and Montreal executed it to perfection in crushing the Jets and all the hopes and dreams that came with them. Well, Winnipeg did not adjust, and they got destroyed. And even having Shifley in the lineup wouldn't have mattered a lot because the Jets simply didn't adjust to the way Montreal played as much as Montreal adjusted to the way Winnipeg played.
No, I agree. And like I said before, consistency with the Jets is the big thing. Like, we have a team that could for sure win. Like, the Jets could win. They have the players. They have, we've proved that we can beat those teams, but they don't have the consistency, right?
Right.
It, for me, it all came down to Carey Price. As bad as that sounds, like, Matt, like, team on team, the Jets could have beat Montreal. But Carey Price was the big difference maker there. Regardless of if he's playing well or not, he is the one reason that Montreal made it as far as they did. And then I think the Jets could have definitely competed against Tampa 100%. And do I think Montreal is, you know, Canada's team? Definitely not. As bad as that sounds, they made it there. They obviously did something right. But I don't think that they deserve to be there more than some of the other teams in Canada.
Tough question, because I know, I mean, he's 33. He certainly still is one of the best to have ever strapped the pads on. Does Carey Price ever win a Stanley Cup now?
I think he does. You know what I mean? We have a couple of players in the NHL that are a bit older. I think Carey Price is still as, not even that he's old, because that makes me feel old when I say he's old, but he's not old by any means. But I think he still has a big career ahead of him. Like, he is the top goaltender in the NHL, to me at least. And I think that it will come for him. They just need, even if he were to get traded, which I don't think anyone, especially Montreal, would want to get rid of him because of how he is with everyone, regardless of on the ice in the dressing room or if he's sitting on the bench even. But he is a huge part of every team, and I think he will. I don't think he's going to quit till he does, because that just seems like the kind of person that he is. You know what I mean? Like, he, when you watch him in games, he seems to not have any, even when they won Monday night, he just kind of skated off being like, oh, like, no big deal, like, whatever. Like, he, it's not that he doesn't care, but you can tell, I don't know. I just think that he has that kind of personality where he's not done until he reaches his goal. And I think obviously in the NHL, the big goal is to win the Stanley Cup, right? And I think he has a lot of time ahead of him, and he's still in good enough shape. He is an incredible goalie and an incredible part of any team that he could be on. And I think that he will 100% get that opportunity.
I don't disagree that I think he's got a lot of hockey left in him. I think he's got a lot of great hockey left in him. I don't know if he stays with Montreal, which it sounds like he'll retire as a Canadian. Montreal,
I don't know about that.
Right.
Sorry, Montreal fans. Love you all, because people listening mostly from Winnipeg. However, Montreal, not my team. I don't think that they deserve to be there. Like we said, you know, it could have been any other Canadian team. If he stays there, do I think, if he stays with Montreal, do I think he will win? No. If he gets traded or goes somewhere else, do I think he will win? Absolutely. But it will take a huge trade for him to go anywhere else, like a massive trade, like probably one of the biggest that we've seen.
I don't think he does. I don't think as long as Marc Bergevin is still in Montreal, I don't think he ever gets traded, nor do I think he ever gets to free agency. I think he's signed until he basically says I'm done. So
I think, how long's his contract right now? Like, he's getting paid the most out of any goaltender and pretty much any NHL player.
He is. And that's the question, right? I mean, when you look at the guys that are getting paid a ton of money, so the Vasilevskis, the, you know, like the guys who are being paid to stop pucks as well as they are, the Vasilevskis, the Hellebuck, they're getting good return on those contracts. Now, Price is signed, and here's the thing. Price will become a free agent in 2027. He's earning $10.5 million a season.
I know, that's insane to me. Like,
but if he's giving you an opportunity to win every night...
That's the only thing. That's the thing. Like, I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think that he will get traded, because he is the biggest part of that team right now. Like, they don't get me wrong. They have great players. Like, they obviously, again, I'm not saying they're Canada's team by any means. Like, I think a lot of other teams, not a lot of other teams, but there are other teams that could have been there. The big difference, like I said, was price. But when you have someone like that on your team, are you going to get rid of him ever? Absolutely not. He's making how much? $10.5 million, did you say?
Until he's 38.
Until 2027.
Until he's 38.
Yeah, 38. Again, it's still young. But when it comes to hockey, like, that's not that young. And at this point, he is the biggest part of their team. They have people that can score. They do have great defense. But he is, hands down, the main reason I think that they made it to the finals. Whether or not, obviously, they did not win. I think that he will never be traded, which is kind of crappy for him because I think he has potential. Obviously, he has potential. He's the best, to me, again, the best goalie in the NHL. But I don't know. Like, I think he could definitely win, you know, the Stanley Cup, but that's a matter of him being traded. He will not be traded until however long. After that, at that point, who knows what he's going to be like, because that's a lot of wear and tear, especially on a goalie, like your hips, your knees, as bad as that sounds at that age, but it is a huge thing. Like, I know a lot of goalies that played pro, like men's, that are, you know, a lot younger than him, that have had hip replacements done, whatever. Like, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And especially when you're priced at, you make those big saves, you do whatever, and you do what you got to do for your team. Who knows what he's going to be like when he's done with his contract, right?
So let me flip the coin on you then, because if we look at the guys who are signed long-term, so Carey Price is signed till 2027. Shea Weber signed till 2027. Jeff Petrie till 2026.
Oh, okay.
Brennan Gallagher is signed until, oh, I don't know, like 2030 or something.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Okay. I mean, it's not 2030, but he's there. He's his contract and Josh Anderson's contract both extend past 2027.
Yeah.
Tyler Toffoli is there until 2025.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at the big players, the quote-unquote the big players, and again, take away Nick Suzuki and all the younger guys because they're on entry level, but when you're looking at the big pieces that are in Montreal, legitimately they could still be there and still be competing for a Stanley Cup, assuming they stay healthy and everything, until 2026 at least, 2025 maybe at least. So it gives them three more, their window basically could be three more years. Assuming that everything stays the same, is it ridiculous to suggest that Montreal couldn't go back to the final?
No, absolutely not. And I think, like I said, they obviously have some skilled players. Obviously, it is not just, you know, Price that has gotten them this far. Yes, he's had a huge part in it, but they have to have people that score. They have to have whatever. And, like, they have a few, like, big names that have gotten them also that far. But it also, like, for me, I know I don't want to bring up the whole COVID talk because we got over the whole let's talk about COVID on this show.
Right, yeah.
But, like, that definitely made a huge difference, I think, this year, because if it was a regular season, do I think Montreal would have gone as far as they did? No. Do I think maybe other teams may have had a chance? Absolutely. Again, it's hard to say, you know what I mean? Because of, again, because of COVID. But straight up,
they were the 18th best team in the league this year. Like, they wouldn't have made the playoffs had they been in regular division.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, COVID is definitely, I think Montreal definitely has, they have Price. They have a few big names that can get them there. Like, Weber is probably one of the best D in the NHL. Like, he has the shot. He can score goals, but he is also a very defensive defenseman. But if it weren't for COVID, would they have gotten this far? No. Do I think that any Canadian team, like right now, Canada's teams were not, like I said, Jets, for example, like we have a team that could do extremely well, but we also, like, we've proven that we can't do that well. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say. And, like, that's why this gets me so, like, kerfuffled. I love that word, kerfuffled. But it's hard to say, like you said, the 18th best team, but also Montreal could have definitely been up there a lot higher. It's different because if you're playing different teams throughout the season, you're doing whatever, like, you're going to play a different game depending on who you're playing. Yeah. Like, you have your video sessions, you practice differently depending on who you're playing. I mean, at least from experience, I've never played in the NHL, but at the level that I've played, depending on the team that you're going to be playing, you have different practices, you practice different systems, you do whatever. Jets, for example, have proven that no matter what, consistency is not their forte. Like, they can play certain periods against every single team in the league. And I think that's why, for me, the Jets could have made it a lot farther because they've proven that they can beat other teams, but they're not consistent. Montreal had the consistency, but do I think that they could have been that consistent against every single other team that they would have been playing against normally? No.
it was asked this week, and I know where you stand on this because you've already made mention of it a couple of times already, but it was asked this week on social media if Carey Price is still the best goaltender in the world if he loses in the final. Obviously, the original comparison was him and Henrik Lundqvist, which I don't think
Lundqvist is a great, great goalie, great teammate from what I've heard, but
I mean, he's Henrik Lundqvist. He's old. He's going to retire probably soon. Yeah. The question, though, becomes now Vasilevsky versus Price. Obviously, Vasilevsky's up 1-0 on him in terms of a series. Hellebuck versus Price. Price has won the Hellebuck-Price debate right there because they went head-to-head. With those three goalies sort of being the preeminent clutch goalies in the NHL. And, I mean, you can make arguments for other people. Tuukka Rask, you know, who has won Stanley Cups and all that. Those three goalies, though, are generally viewed as some of the best. Marc-Andre Fleury might be included in that as well. But is Carey Price, of all those names, the best goalie if you needed to win a game tomorrow?
Personally, I say yes, just because even when he is not consistent, like, he doesn't let in. Like, yes, obviously every single goalie, like, obviously, okay, I'm a defense. Don't get me wrong. I will never, ever blame a goalie for any goal, no matter what. Carey Price has let in some weak goals. Even then, the weak goals that he has let in are faults on a lot of other things that have broken down before the fact, as with any other goal, you know what I mean? The puck doesn't come into the end if it's not been broken down somewhere else before. However, I just personally, I don't know why I have such a soft spot for Price, but because even growing up, like, my brother, he was a goalie. His biggest fan, like, his entire room was covered in Pittsburgh stuff. So Hedberg was his main guy and Fleury were his main guys. Like, still to this day, they are the two people, like, it's super funny because he's older than me. Like, he is, like, a fanboy when it comes to freaking Fleury. But I think that he's going to hate me. Good thing he doesn't listen that often. So I'm going to tell him not to listen this week. But I think that, personally, I think Carey Price, even when he's not consistent, he makes the bigger saves or makes less mistakes than other goalies do. And again, I will never, ever blame a goalie for a goal because if they make a mistake, it was already a breakdown somewhere else on the ice. However, I think Hellebuck, heck of a goalie. And, like, the Jets would not have gotten anywhere. Like, we have the Jets, like I said, a million trillion times. We have a great team. We don't have the consistency. Our D-core, not our strong suit. And Hellebuck was tested with that a lot. But for me, Price, out of all goalies, I think personally, I think Price could be the top goalie in the NHL right now. Lundqvist, again, he is an extreme goalie. He is definitely older, which does not make a difference when it comes to the NHL, which we've learned from, you know, a lot of people. But I just think, again, it's just my personal opinion. I think for me personally, Price is probably the top goalie in the NHL right now.
I will say that one-and-done games seem to be Carey Price's forte in that he won a gold medal with the 2007 World Junior Championship team. He won a World Cup in 2016 with Canada, obviously, and he won an Olympic gold medal in 2014 in Sochi. So I think if I needed a goalie to win tomorrow, yeah, I have no problem with Carey Price. Vasilevsky makes a good case for it that he could probably be just as good, although if you put, again, and I know this is unfair, if you put Vasilevsky in behind the Montreal defense, does he look as good? Is he as good? That's the question, right? And I mean,
even Hellebuck for that matter, like, if you put him behind, like, Weber or some of the other D that, you know, Montreal has, I think that it would be a completely different game. And again, I'm not saying Hellebuck is a bad goalie because he is one of the main reasons. Again, Jets, their defense are not awful by any means. I'm not trying to rip on the Jets.
I will. They're awful.
The Jets defense is not great. It has been our weak suit the entire season. Like, yes, sometimes we have people that can score. There's no consistency, but we do not have the defense. If you put, you know, Hellebuck or anyone else behind, you know, Shea Weber or people like that, like, I just, it could be a completely different game. Again, I think Carey Price is one of those goalies that you put anywhere and no matter where he goes, he's going to make that difference.
There's no doubting that Carey Price is a Hall of Famer already. I mean, that's not even going to be a discussion. He helped. Yeah,
we'll start a riot.
Well, everybody, he helped.
Join me.
He helped the Hamilton Bulldogs win the Calder Cup championship. So, I mean, he was named the tournament MVP that year. Price made the roster, the Canadiens roster in 07-08. Obviously, he was the backup goalie and then became the starting goalie later that season. Hasn't let go of that option since. In 2015, he won the Ted Lindsay, the Jennings, the Vezina, and the Hart trophies, becoming the first goaltender in NHL history to win all four individual awards in the same season. Not even Dominique Hasek did that.
I don't know. I'm like fangirling over Carey Price right
now. And that's okay. Like I said, I mean, I'm out here just spewing out all the great things that he's done. And I go, okay, like this is fantastic that he's able to do this. I'm just concerned that he's never going to reach. He's going to be, and I hate to say it, I don't mean to bring negativity to this guy's name, but he's going to be another Marcel Dion where he's maybe the best player of his generation and he never won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You know what? I think that I'm going to take back what I said earlier when I said I think he has a chance. Like I said, if he stays with Montreal, okay, I'm not going to take back anything. Everybody, don't take back anything I've said. Do not listen to me. However, it's hard to say. Again, COVID has made it like hard to tell because there's 2-3 different completely opposite leagues and everybody's playing the same specific teams here and there. And it's hard to tell. Like Montreal, again, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I think, no, they are not Canada's team. However, with the way that the league went up north here this year, I think it could have been realistically almost anyone, depending on the day. Yeah. Whereas it's hard to – that's why I'm saying it's kind of hard to tell. Like, I just – I don't know. It's weird to say, but again, I'm just going to keep pumping Carey Price's tires because that's – apparently I'm fangirling over him lately, and he's been my guy, and I don't know, but – he, I think that even once he's done, because how old will he be when he's done with Montreal? Well,
38 by the time his contract runs out.
You know what? Again, it's hard to say. Like I say, it's especially hard for goalies who play that many games and get that many shots and has to do that much work. But I think that, you know what? Quote me now, Carey Price will win a Stanley Cup before he retires.
All right. We're going to hold you to everybody, that.
Quote me right now. If I lose this quote, then I don't know what's going to happen, but just quote it. You all heard it here today.
If anybody remembers this in 5 years, we'll have to go back and really sort of be like, oh, Jenna, by the way. But I don't know if anyone remembers.
I will keep track, though.
Do you want to give a shout-out, though, to Price again? I mean, we made comment last week, or at least I did anyway, on Canada Day about, you know, all the different stuff for Indigenous peoples and everything. I mean, his mom, Linda, was just voted as the chief of the Okacho First Nation. So Price, who also is, you know, from the same First Nation, the Okacho First Nation, proud heritage there. So he's got a lot of, you know, torches he's carrying in terms of being a great player, great person, great role model for not only everybody in everyday life, but certainly for Indigenous youth as well. So congratulations to Carey Price certainly on all his success so far. And
I just like to, with that, like, you know, when they were playing against the Jets, for example, is when a lot of the stuff with the residential schools, they had found a lot of the bodies, which is, again, like that, it destroys me. And I still, like, every single day, but the fact that he, like, so at the time I was working across the street from the MTS Center where they are, the Bell, whatever it's called, Great West Life. Now, I don't know anymore.
Canada Life Center is what it's going to be called.
Where they all come out and, you know, a lot of them just like come out, go to their hotels. And it's not even so much being like, oh, like I play in the NHL, just more so like, hey, I just finished practice. Like I need to go do this. Whereas he took the time to stop and do, like, I saw a lot of that downtown, whereas there's people setting up being like, hey, like this is what's going on, whatever. He had the utmost respect for every single person, regardless of like who they were, what they looked like, anything. And that is huge, especially as like an NHL player or any sort of famous person. Like you need to have that. It's not respect. It is respect. It's respect.
And it's also that humbleness, though. That
humbleness, exactly. And he's a celebrity. Also what made me like him a lot more. Like, I've never not liked Carey Price. He's always been an incredible hockey player, which has always been, like, I've watched him my whole life, basically. But, like, to see that kind of stuff is, like, yes, you see it from a lot of NHL players. And I'm not saying NHL players are bad, but they do have that. You're a famous person. You know what I mean? Like, you sometimes just need a break. And he has never once been like, hey, I just need to like walk away and not do this. Like, he will always take the time to do that, which is like, that's incredible. So huge shout out to Price for doing that, because a lot of people wouldn't have done that. They would have just walked by and left it. And yes, it did make it to the news. I'm sure, you know, maybe some others did. And because he is that big name, it did make it to the news. But that is still like an incredible thing to know that you have these people that have the ability, like everyone has the ability to make a difference. For him to take the time out of his day just to say, hey, like, I'm here with you. I will stand by with you. I'm not okay with this. Like, that's a huge thing. So huge props to Price for doing that, because a lot of people would not have done that. His family is also like Price. Again, I'm just fangirling over Price's entire show so far, but he just seems like the most incredible person. I would love to like sit down and chat with him because he seems like such an incredible person.
The Bigger question that might exist now, though, is should teams, specifically the Winnipeg Jets, mimic what Montreal did? And I'll ask this only because Montreal went in on, they started the playoffs not playing their young kids. Caulfield, Kotkaniemi. Caulfield
blew me away. Sorry.
Suzuki, those players. I mean, there were players that didn't get into the lineup in game one against Toronto. And then they came back and they made huge impact in the playoffs in terms of being reinserted in game two. As we know, Winnipeg seems to have a significant lack of appreciation for young players in terms of what they can bring to the ice and what they can do. Not saying that any of the players the Jets have are Suzuki or Caulfield or Romanov or any of those players, but should the Jets play their young players considering what we saw from Montreal?
I honestly think so. Like, I know we've talked about, especially in women's hockey a lot, it comes up, you know, the young players are always the one that end up, you have to start somewhere. And if they don't get that chance, then they're just going to turn into, you know, those people that, you know, you throw out on every now and then. For the Jets though, like we've talked about, I mean, I've talked about 800 times this show already, so I'm sorry to bring it up again, but consistency. If you don't have that consistency from your top players, throw the younger players out, give them a game, give them, you know, obviously, yeah, they're going to make mistakes. They're nervous. They're new. They're trying something different, but throwing like those younger players out, giving them a shot is like the biggest thing that you can do because they can turn into something incredible for the team. But if they don't get that shot, whatever, whereas the Jets, even defense wise, like again, we have great defense, but they're not consistent.
Right.
And like they're less inconsistent. You know what I mean? Like they will have a good game. They will have five bad games for every one good game, which like I hate talking trash about the Jets because I love them. They are one of my teams, but we don't have that consistency. If every now and then, you know, you throw out a younger player, yeah, they're going to mess up, but so are our older players. You know what I mean? So let them get those mistakes out of the way, learn from their mistakes, and then they're going to grow into those people that you need to have on a team at this point. No, the Jets do not need to completely rebuild by any means, but I think giving them that extra little push, just saying, hey, go out, you mess up. Yeah, it sucks. You might lose a game or two, but they get that out of the way. They know how to learn from it then. Whereas right now we have our top players out there who are continuously making the same mistakes. Wow. Because that's like, I don't know how to explain. Like,
no, you're explaining it right though. And I think that, and again, I know that the Jets are quick to punish the kids by putting them back in the press box if they have a bad game. And I think that's the problem though, is that they get played for one game. They make a couple of mistakes that might cost the Jets a goal or two.
Yep.
And then they get punished by being exiled back to the press box for a week or three. And you go, at what point are you going to let these kids learn how to play through these problems? Because if they don't learn, if they aren't on the ice to learn, if you're not playing at the NHL level, if you're just practicing at the NHL level, sure, you might be a great practice player, but you could be a terrible game player. You have to let them play in games in order to face opponents that they never see every day. And in order for them to improve and get better and be able to react in a better way, they have to play at that level. And I'm tired of seeing teams, Montreal, Edmonton, for the most part, Toronto, for the most part, Calgary, for the most part, draft and put young players into the lineup, and the Jets continue to go out and sign veterans and push these young players down the depth chart when they're being drafted for their offensive capabilities.
No, I 100% agree. And again, I'm going to tie this back in, you know, women's, especially Can-West hockey. A lot of it comes down to, you know, you have these girls that come back from the States and you're going to play them. Are they making that much of a difference? Absolutely. Yes, to an extent. But then you have these rookies coming up. Like we have a couple of rookies. Well, they're not rookies anymore. They've graduated now, but they're rookies when I was there. And like Brianna Goloski, for example, at McEwen, she coming in, was she the strongest player? No. Did she sit a lot? Absolutely. When she finally got the ability to, like, she messed up a couple times and then learn from it. Did she become one of the, like, most important people on our teams, like, my last few years? Absolutely. And I think that the biggest thing is you need to teach them that it's okay to make mistakes because it's a game. When it comes down to it, yes, it's your job, especially in the NHL. Like, yes, it's your job. Yes, you're getting paid a whole lot of money. At the same time, like, it's a game. You're going to make mistakes. You're a human. Every single, like, hockey is a game of mistakes. If one team doesn't make a mistake, then the other team's not going to do anything. So if you don't have people coming in, making those mistakes and learning from their mistakes, then you're not going to have a game. And like I said, you know, if you don't have those girls that can come in and just be allowed to make the mistakes, then you're not going to be able to build a team. Like when I started with McEwen, we were terrible. Like we didn't make it to playoffs my first 2 years. Like we were awful. And then eventually it was more so like, okay, like we kind of suck. You're going to mess up a bit, but you're not going to get screwed over. You're not going to sit in the stands. You're not going to do whatever. And they're in CIS now. You know what I mean? Like you need to be able to have those people. Again, Brianna Glosky, I'm going to text her and make sure she listens to this. But like I said, when she started, she was not our best player by any means, but she worked harder than everyone else. Every time she made a mistake, she learned from it, which is what the Jets need right now. Like we need to stop signing people that have that experience, because they have, like, again, yes, we can sign, you know, all these huge names, do whatever. Like we need to start signing younger players and allow them to mess up, especially when it's not a team that's winning every single game to start with. But it's just, I don't know. It's frustrating because I've been that person. You know what I mean? Like I've been that person that has, we're going to get real deep here, but
hold on. Before you go on though, I want to go back to Brianna just because I think you brought up a good point in that Brianna was allowed to make mistakes and learn from them. Brianna didn't make the mistake and then was punished for them.
No.
I think that's where the Jets go wrong, is that, and this falls directly on the shoulders of Paul Maurice and Charlie Huddy and the rest of the coaching staff. Yeah. You can't expect these players to come in and play at an NHL level when you've sat them for so long, and then you can't punish them for sitting for so long because you haven't played them. Like, it's a catch-22 for these players in that they're going to want to leave at the end of whatever contract they have, because they're not getting the opportunities. They're not getting the chances to prove themselves, because every time they make a mistake, you're punishing them.
No, 100%. Like I was saying, so I redshirted at U of M. I went into McEwen the first couple of years. We were not great. I played a whole lot, which is all fun and games, but I hate losing. And then when it came down to it, like making mistakes and stuff, I just get in my own head not that I got punished by them. Lindsay is a great coach. Do not ever get me wrong. She is the best coach I've ever had. But when you hear certain things, depending on the player, like you have to be able to talk to your players. So when the Jets have these people coming in, we sign all these big names. And then we're like, hey, like you are allowed to make a bajillion mistakes, but then we'll let, you know, someone, like we'll pull someone up from the moose or do whatever, but they make one mistake and then they have the coaches on them. They have maybe the other players. I don't know so much. Again, I do not know their locker room dynamics, but we have that. And then on top of that, we have the fans, and it's hard because half the fans watch hockey. Have they ever actually, like, you know, been in that high level hockey? No, but we sign these big names that we allow to make all these big mistakes, which it's no big deal because they are technically, in quotes, a great player. But then we pull up all these, you know, younger players, and then they make one mistake and then they get completely crapped on for however long. And it's just, again, like you said with Brianna, like she was allowed to make the mistakes. Like, yes, sometimes you would get sat in bigger games, but that's just how hockey works. You need to essentially know your role, which as bad as that sounds, but like you have people like Brianna who will go out every penalty kill, will not get scored on. She will work harder than anyone else, but will you put her out on a power play or like, you know, the last minute of the game? Probably not. But again, it's because you've made those mistakes, you've learned from them, you've corrected from them. Whereas you sign these higher, like bigger names, older players that just expect to be played. They make a mistake and then they get sad, they get mad about it, or they don't get sad and they don't learn from it. And the Jets are one team that we have not really pulled up anyone younger. Every name we've gotten is an older player, which again, they are great players by all means. But they're not learning from anything because there's no consequences. It's like, oh, you messed up, no big deal. Which is, it's kind of frustrating to watch, but
I mean, you could argue that Morrissey was brought up after his one season with the Moose, but yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of guys that we can say are homegrown defensive guys because we've either traded for them or signed them as free agents. And I mean, Neil Pionk's a young player and he's going to probably be around for a while. And I'm glad they aren't sitting him because they allowed him to make a few mistakes because he seemed to get better as the season went on throughout the year. Yeah. Well, but I look at guys like Sammy Niku, I look at guys like Billy Hainala, I look at guys like, you know, I know he hasn't played yet, but a Dylan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. All these players play the same kind of up-tempo offensive game as a Pionk. Are we going to sit them if they make one mistake again? Like, they're not learning anything if they do that. They
will, though, because they are not those big names. Like, even Kyle Connor was lucky because he came in at a time where we needed that transition, doing whatever. When he came in, was he a great player? Absolutely not.
But he got sent back to the Moose, though, to learn how to play defensive hockey. Like, they sent him down because he didn't.
Because of his name. As bad as it sounds, like, when we've talked so many times about hockey when it comes down to, like, politics and being more so, like, a business than anything, the names come down to it. Like, if you sit Wheeler, what do you think is going to happen to your team?
It sends a pretty clear message, I think.
No, exactly, but it sends a clear message, but then a lot of people are going to be pissed off. You're going to lose, as bad as it sounds, you're going to lose money if you're sitting your top players because people are coming there to watch the top players. As that sounds, you know what I mean?
But if your top players are continuously losing, you're losing money anyway because people aren't coming to see you. Like, there's a point.
I agree with you 100%. If your top players, like we've said, like Wheeler, he needs to, as bad as it sounds, but as a captain of the team, you need to be consistent. You need to be that player that can pull people out. Again, I'm not trying to crap on him because he is an incredible player. But when it came down to it, like to a certain, like at one point, he was not being that player on the ice. I don't know about off the ice, but he wasn't that player that the Jets needed him to be. But because he was that big name, there was nothing. Like, it was just, oh, he's Wheeler, he's our captain, we're just going to keep throwing him out. Which is why I think that, yeah, like, we need to give these younger players a chance. Like, but
bring it up this way, though, because, I mean, you're making a point that the top players should play. And I'm not going to disagree with that.
I'm not trying to say they should, though. Like, I'm saying, like, give the chance. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not trying by any means saying the top players should play. If they mess up, they should have just as much of a penalty as,
young
player should. Like we've said, it's a business. The NHL is not about anything but a business. If you don't play those big names, there's going to be more drama. But
the question becomes, though, if you want to sign big players, you want to have those big names, you need cap relief. And in order to get cap relief, you have to play younger players. And I'll only ask that and only say that because – I mean, Tampa Bay essentially played a bunch of young players this year. I mean, granted, they rotated players in and out. There was players injured and stuff. But when it came down to the playoffs, they were able to dress anybody they wanted because there's no rules in the playoffs for that. They were able to dress anybody they wanted, and they technically were dressing a lineup that was $18 to $20 million over the cap limit. And the reason they could do that is because they had young players, a guy like Ross Colton, for example, who scored, you know, in the game-winning goal, the Stanley Cup winning goal, Ross Colton, turn up and play hard for the Tampa Bay Lightning this season. He earned a spot in the lineup. I look at that and I go, without a Ross Colton, they would have been forced to sign somebody, bring somebody else up, whatever. But he allowed them to have cap relief this year that they needed in order to be able to keep all those good players together. And I go, why can't Winnipeg do that? Why wouldn't Winnipeg do that? I'm not saying that Cole Perfetti should have the automatic second line spot next year. That's not what I'm saying at all. I still think he needs to earn it. But if Cole Perfetti outperforms a veteran, so be it. Cole Perfetti can give us cap relief. We can use that money elsewhere then.
No, and that's like kind of like essentially, obviously I've been round and round about this the entire time, but like I've been saying, you need to give those younger players a chance,
right,
regardless of if they mess up or not. Again, we're going to go back to Bree Golovsky, and I will make sure she listens to this because I've talked about her for 8 hours, but like I said, she came in being one of those players, she'd play here and there. Did she make a difference when she was on the ice? Yes. But as soon as she messed up, that was a problem. It's the same with the Jets. We have these younger players that come in, they will mess up, and that's game over. But for the Jets, I think they need those younger players to come in. They need to mess up a few times. Like I said, hockey is a game of mistakes. Nobody's going to win a game if people don't make mistakes.
I'll say right now, if you're going to base it on that, Colorado's going to be the most dangerous team in hockey next year.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. They could have been very dangerous this year, but next year.
But they learned against Vegas. So that's the thing, is they're going to go back and they're going to learn. So you got guys like, you know, guys like Makar, guys like Gerard, guys like, Byram. Like, all of these good young defenders that are going to go back and going to go, all right, we need to be better in this area. How do we get better? Here's what we need to do. And you go, like, they're starting 4 out of 6 guys under the age of 25 on their defense, on their defense core.
Like, the Jets are just like, we're going to play Scheifele, we're going to play Wheeler, we're going to play Connor, we're going to play all our top names, regardless of if they're playing well or not, we're going to play them and screw everyone else. Which, again, in theory, that sounds great.
But that's video game theory.
Like Colorado, for what you said, like, they are playing those younger players, they're giving them a chance, and that's what the Jets need. We need younger people that are going to come up. At this point, we're in a building stage. We don't have the consistency. Yes, we have big names. We have great players, but we don't have the consistency. And we need people that are going to do that for us. We need to give them a chance.
Okay, some quick hits on the Stanley Cup before we move on. Vasilevsky is Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Do you agree or disagree? Does Kucherov make an impact?
I think Kucherov should have won it, but that's just me. Again, it doesn't make a huge difference to me. I didn't watch 100% of the playoffs. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's interchangeable for me.
Do you feel guilty giving it to Kucherov? Because I'm going to ask this question now. Do you feel guilty giving it to Kucherov knowing that he didn't play all season and basically was the reason for the Tampa Bay Lightning having
now I'm buying into the name kind of thing, I think. Yeah, that's fair. Like you said, he didn't play as much.
At all.
Don't
get me wrong. He was still huge in the playoffs. He led the league in scoring in playoffs. He was by far the best Tampa Bay Lightning in terms of scoring points. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve it, but I'm saying, do you feel guilty giving it to him knowing that he's the reason for the salary cap issues that the Tampa Bay Lightning are being talked about?
Well, now that you brought it up, yes, because I'm going to go back to my boy, Carey Price here. And I think he had a big chance, but I don't know. I think, like you said, it could have been obviously they're both huge parts of the team and neither of them would have been up for the trophy if there wasn't a reason, regardless of business, person, like whatever. Like there's a reason that they were, you know, nominated for the trophy. Now that you bring it up that way, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to feel guilty about it. But I don't know. It could have been interchangeable for me either way.
Patrick Maroon becomes the 81st player to win the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row. Is Patrick Maroon perhaps not for what he does on the ice, not for what he brings to the score sheet, but is Patrick Maroon a valuable player in terms of what he's done, considering he's won the cup 3 years in a row?
I think that he's a huge team player. I mean, I was in Edmonton when he played in Edmonton and like Edmonton loved him. And obviously, yeah, he makes an impact on the ice, but not so much for what he does, like goals, assists, whatever. It's the way that he is. And he obviously seems, again, I do not know him, but he seems like a great person. And I think every team needs those players that are going to, regardless of if they're playing, if they're sitting on the bench doing whatever, they need those players that are going to be there for the team no matter what. So I think that he was definitely a huge part of the reason why they have won again. And he's obviously done it for a reason. Again, it's not like a one-man show when it comes to, you know, winning, but there's a reason that he's won three in a row.
Three in a row.
Yeah. I don't even know anymore, but there's a reason that he's won three. And it's, again, obviously, yes, your team has a huge part in that. Yes, Tampa probably would have beat Montreal without him. However, I think that when you have those players in the dressing room, like the players,
experience matters. I'll say that.
And the people on the ice do. For me, when it comes to hockey, like I was never the best player on the ice by any means, but in the dressing room, like I would be that player. You got to make sure everyone's getting along. You got to make sure everyone's on the same page, regardless of if they want to be or not. Like you need to have those people that are going to be the glue kind of. And that's what he seems like to me. And there's a reason that he's won the three. And again, it's not obviously not just him, but he's obviously had a huge part in it. He is, again, Edmonton, everybody in Edmonton, like the chance that they would have at the games, like they were obsessed with him for a reason. And I don't know. I think that he definitely deserves it. Regardless of what you put up, like you don't need to score a single goal for all I care, but you need to be a team player, especially in the NHL when it comes to the Stanley Cup finals. Like you're not, you know, if you were to throw Edmonton in the finals, for example, is McDavid going to play pretty much every second of the game? Absolutely. Is he going to be the only reason that they win? No. You need to have those people on the team that are going to like bring everyone together, that are going to make sure that everything's going smoothly. Everyone's kind of somewhat on the same page. And I think that Maroon is one of those players.
Corey Perry loses for the second year in a row to Tampa Bay. He lost with Dallas last year, lost with Montreal this year. Perry's stock has risen quite a bit considering how he played in last year's playoffs when people kind of wrote him off and were like, oh, he can still play. And now this year they're like, oh, he still can play. He's actually really good still. Does Corey Perry fit on the Jets if the Jets were to pursue him as a free agent?
I think, yeah. I think the Jets need someone that's like Perry where he's not afraid to, you know, regardless of where you put him on the ice, like, he does make a huge difference, whether he's scoring goals, making assists, doing whatever. I think that he's a huge presence to have on the ice, and he would be a huge aspect to the Jets, because you throw him in front of the net, regardless of if he's actually doing anything, he's going to make that difference. And we don't really have anyone like that right now. Like, we have people, we do have goal scorers. Our defense can be great. Consistent? No. We have a great goaltender, but if you throw Perry in there, like, he's going to,
I think he fits.
I don't know. I think he could make a huge difference for the Jets. And if we could get him, like, I would snatch him up in a heartbeat, because
guy can score.
He'll play in every area of the ice.
Right. Guy can score goals. Guy can play a physical game. Guy can play, I mean, not so much finesse anymore, but he certainly still has some hands. I think Corey Perry fits as a bottom six guy on the Jets.
I honestly think at this point, you throw him on, you know, throw him on the blue line, and he will be probably more consistent than what we have right now. And he will make – no, again, I'm not trying to, like, crap on the Jets. No, I love
you're
the Jets.
But you're right, though.
And it's just, he has the ability to play anywhere on the ice, and he will make that difference because he cares. He wants to win. He knows what it takes to win, regardless of, you know, he's the last year, so that's fine. No big deal. But I don't know. I feel like he will make a difference no matter where you put him on the ice, because he has that kind of mentality where it's just like, I need to win. This is what I need to do to win. If I need to beat the crap out of someone, I'm going to do it. If I need to score a goal, I'm going to do it. And that's kind of what the Jets need.
I got about 10 minutes remaining in the show, so we're going to go over a few quick stories here. One that broke late Wednesday, or at least maybe not super late, but on Wednesday, Vladimir Tarasenko wants out of St. Louis. He's reportedly asked for a trade. Now, the obvious connection would be that Tkachuk in Calgary has made it clear that he would like to see some changes in Calgary. If it doesn't mean the team changes, then perhaps he does. Tarasenko for Tkachuk, who, again, Tkachuk has a history of St. Louis just because his dad played there for so long. Tkachuk to St. Louis for Tarasenko would be interesting, but I don't know. I just don't know who can absorb a $7.5 million contract that Tarasenko brings when the cap is flat. Like, you have to trade basically a superstar for a superstar here.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's obviously, again, he's one of those players that'll make a difference no matter where he goes. But when it comes down to money wise, what are you going to do? Because you don't want to get rid of your best players to bring someone else in that might, you know, gel with the team, might not gel with the team. I don't know. That's hard to say.
It is a tough move if you're St. Louis to hear that. Yeah.
Somewhere, like, that's obviously on you. You're a player. You get to decide what you want to do, but I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to bring someone in because obviously he's worth a lot of money. He is a great player, but if you're going to, you know, trade one of your other great players for him to bring someone in who might not gel with the team to leave or get rid of someone that has already kind of gelled with the team, has made that kind of impact on the team. That's hard.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know if St. Louis has a plan for I want out for a superstar, but we'll have to see where it goes from there. Sad news out of the NHL on Monday is some terrible, terrible news came out of Michigan where Matisse Kivlenix unfortunately passed away after a horrible, horrible accident. 24-year-old goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was a member of Team Latvia. He looked like he was an up-and-coming netminder, was going to be one of the better young goalies in the league if he could make the lineup. Just a terrible, terrible thing to see. And, I don't even have words for it because not too many people knew a lot about Kivlenix, but he seemed to be like this funny, you know, great teammate, funny guy. Everybody loved him. And now he's gone.
Yeah. I was reading a lot of like the players' posts and stuff. And it's just like, it's sad because regardless of, even if he wasn't, you know, the best goalie, again, I'm not saying he was not a good goalie. You have a great goalie ahead of you. You're going to, you know, your role, like I said earlier, but it's kind of sad to see like the impact that he's left, especially at such a young age. Like, everyone's just saying, you know, like the smiles and whatever. And that's what you need on a hockey team, especially in the NHL. Like, you need people that
can't let the highs get too high, the lows get too low. Yeah.
It's so sad to see, especially because he's so young and he was just starting his career. Like, we talked about earlier, you know, bringing those young players, and he was one of those young players, and he did make an impact when he did get the chance to play.
And I mean, it's just a terrible, like, the accident, though, is just a terrible thing. Like, I mean, the autopsy revealed that Kivlinik's death was a result from fireworks, mortar blast, and chest trauma, and not the original head trauma that was reported, you know, as he was falling out of a hot tub. But the fact that it's fireworks, of all things, like, I know the NHL has all sorts of clauses in their contracts where players have to, you know, remain safe, where they can't, you know, drive motorcycles, for example, to prevent injury, where they can't do all sorts of crazy stuff, basically.
The amount of stuff that they're allowed and not allowed to do is insane. But, like, this is especially sad, is one, because he's so young. Two, he was not doing anything wrong. Like, he was at a wedding.
No, yeah. And I mean, that's the sad part, is that this wedding, I mean, it's supposed to be the biggest day of two people's lives. And now it's this anniversary of, unfortunately, of, you know, Kivlinik's death. And I just go, that's a tragedy on its own, that these people now will never remember the day as the day they got married. It'll be the day that he passed away at their wedding.
That's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong, the wedding part is obviously sad. And again, it's been brought up in the media a whole lot, especially when there's a lot of other stuff going on, you know, in the world with deaths, like residential schools, for example. But the fact that, like, this guy, it's not even just so much about the fact that, you know, an NHL player died. It's the fact that they bring up, you know, the impact that he had on everyone, the smile that he had on his face, the way that he could, like, talk to everyone. Like, it was like, I don't know. It's so, I mean, okay. So Nikeko Lamoth from the McEwen men's team my last year when I was out there.
Yeah.
Passed away my last year right after a game. He walked into the dressing room and, like, had a heart attack in front of the whole team, basically. And he passed away. And, like, that alone was, like, it's extra hard when it's someone that you know is a genuine person and you know that isn't just there for the hockey. They're there for everything else around the hockey. Like, that was probably that was right when my dad was sick, and it was, like, extra hard because of that. But because I knew him and, like, the way that he was, like, the one person, like, you walk into a room and he just, like, lights up the room. And that's the way that I can, like, imagine this being. Again, I've never met him, but the way that I've read things and read articles and read all these players, you know, like, post whatever, it's so sad because he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was living with someone that was going to make him a better player. He was trying to do the best that he could for his team. He was literally sitting there trying to, like, you know, hang out, basically. I'm going to start crying. But it's just sad because he was a young player with, like, a huge future. Like, everything he did on the ice for them was already incredible at such a young age. And then when you hear about all the stuff that he did behind the scenes, like, in the dressing room with other players, with people outside of the league, like, is amazing.
Well, we're going to close this on a more fun note, because obviously having that hangover heads isn't great, but rest in peace, Matlas Kivlinik, because you're gone way too soon. So hopefully your family can find some peace after this tragedy. So the good news, though, is that there's going to be some fun in Winnipeg coming up in the next couple of weeks, starting on July 19th, running through to July 23rd at Gateway Recreation Center. The Sammy Joe Small Hockey School has gotten the green light to go ahead and to accept skaters for players who want to go. So if you have a young lady who wants to get in and do a little hockey over the summer and have some fun and learn from one of the best in Sammy Joe, and certainly from some of the best in her staff, this is the place you want to go. Jenna can talk about it because she actually is a former graduate of the school, of the hockey camp.
I still have memories. Like, when we talked to Sammy on the show, there's certain, like, people from the instructing staff that, like, I can, to this day, like, I remember every single thing. And that camp, like, yes, it taught me a lot of skills, but, like, the memories of, like, meeting people, like, I'm still friends with a lot of people I went to there. And yeah, I talked to Sammy today, and I will be helping instruct that.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited. Like, this camp, if I don't even remember the ages, I'm pretty sure there's a huge age range.
Yeah, so the information is as follows. It's a full day camp, 8 to 4 p.m. every day at Gateway Recreation Center for the 5 days. Times will vary depending on the registration numbers, but it sounds like there'll be smaller groups, obviously for COVID reasons, and making sure that the groups aren't as big as they normally are. But that means there's going to be more coaches as well. So there'll be lots of people to meet, lots of people to see. You'll get your emails or your schedule emailed out to you once you get registered. There will be 2 on ice and 2 off ice sessions per day, which is going to be fun. You get to do all sorts of drills and
off ice sessions too, because I haven't worked out in a while.
That's okay. You can get in on some of those then if you need to. That'll be fun. Ages run from 7 to 17. Beginners to elite players, doesn't matter where you fall into that, you're all welcome to go. So if you want to get in, groups will be set up based upon age. However, parents can always ask for the group to be changed, you know, depending on their skill, need, carpooling requirements, all that kind of stuff. So if, you know, an older sibling and a younger sibling are going together, put them in the same group together. They'll have some fun together in terms of getting the carpooling and all that stuff set up. Again, instructors are going to be many. There will be lots, as you know. There will be some
Instructor Jenna Thompson.
Yeah, I was gonna say there will be some very skilled, very, very high impact.
No, but I'm fun. So
that's still a skill. It's important. Jenna is one of them. There will be more. Sammy is definitely recruiting as we speak. So there'll be lots and lots of stuff there. Sammy Jo Small will be there all day, every day for the 5 days. So make sure you're ready to meet her, because you can't miss her. She's going to be out there for sure. But lots of great people, lots of good people locally as well. Usually, and if I'm not mistaken, Janelle Kahanchuk usually is out there.
I'm going to send her a message. We can talk about it next week and we will get more into detail. But I promise anyone wanting to get into this camp, like, skill-wise, you will learn so much. 2, fun-wise, you will meet so many people. Like, and 3, like, again, it's super, yes, you're going to learn skills, going to do whatever, but you're going to learn a whole lot more. And this camp was, to this day, I can still remember it, and it was my first couple years ever playing hockey. So if you want to get into it, regardless if you've never skated in your life, they have separate groups. If you're put in a group that maybe you don't fit in, they will rearrange you. Like, it is the best time ever. If anyone wants anything, send, you know, me or Teebs a message and we'll talk to Sammy or do whatever. But it is the probably best thing that you will ever do for your hockey career, because you learn a whole lot more than just, you know, on ice stuff. So if you are wanting to get into hockey, even, like, they have a group for people that maybe barely know how to skate, that is okay. If you are an incredible hockey player, that's also okay, because they have a group for that. Janelle Kohanchuk, I'm pretty sure, is almost always there. I will message her. We will figure it out. And we can talk about it next week. So tune in next week also. But
I think Susie Ewan is always there as well. Susie is a fantastic player too.
I saw her at the outdoor rink this year, and I talked to her a bit, because she is one person I also remember. I will make it fun for you. I know a couple of the other coaches going.
Key thing, and I want to make this clear, because I don't participate. I'm not invited. I don't get to instruct because I'm not good at all. So they just are like, no, you can just sit on the side and just talk about it or whatever. But hit the Sammy Jo Small website. SammyJoSmall.ca/Winnipeg is where you should go check out that information.
You're too nervous to talk to Olympian like I would have been. Send us a message. We'll send you a little email, you know, pumping your tires a bit, and then we'll get you going on that. So, you know, hit us up on Twitter, message Sammy Small@hotmail.com or the website, and it will be the best thing. I promise you, it is, like, I to this day remember every single moment of that camp, and I went there for 3 years. Like, it is the best time I've ever had.
So there we go. If you want to get out and have some fun this summer with a great hockey camp, Sammy Jo Small's hockey camp is definitely the place to be. So get your daughters registered. In saying that, we are out of time, Jenna. Obviously, good to have you back. But anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Again, message us, message Sammy, message anyone. Congratulations to all the Tampa fans. And thank you for listening to me rant again.
I do want to say thanks for tuning in. I do want to say congratulations to Tampa Bay Lightning and obviously all their fans who get to celebrate another championship. But next week, folks, you're going to want to tune in because we have one of the best coaches in Canada West coming on, Sarah Hodges of the University of Regina. She is going to come on the show. She is going to talk to us about everything she's done in her career. It is going to be amazing because she has such an incredible career.
Yeah, she's an amazing coach. So make sure you guys are tuning in next week. Again, she is one person. Before I signed with U of M, I talked to them a bit, and she's one person that has helped me through the university situation. She's an incredible lady, so tune in next week.
With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the hockey show for another week. See you next Thursday, everybody. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Game on!